Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, this is the sixth canto, chapter 5, I think text number 31 is on the board. Okay. Bratrinam prayanam brata yo nutistati dharmavit sa punya bandhu purusho marudbi saha modate. Bratrinam prayanam brata yonutishtati dharmavit sapunya bandhu purusho marudibhi saha modate. Bratrinam prayanam brata yonutishtati dharmavit sapunya bandhu purusho marudbi sahamodate. Bhatrinam prayanam brata yonutishtati dharmavit sapunya bandhu purusho marudbi sahamodate. Istati Paramavit Matajis. Bratrinam, of elder brothers. Prayanam, the path. Brata, a faithful brother. Ya, one who. Anutistati, follows. Dharmavit, knowing the religious principles. Saha, that. Punyabandhu, highly pious. Purusha, person. Marudbi, the demigods of the winds. Saha, with. Modate, enjoys life. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. A brother aware of the principles of religion follows in the footsteps of his elder brothers. Because of being highly elevated, such a pious brother gets the opportunity to associate and enjoy with the demigods, like the Maruts, who are all affectionate to their brothers. Please repeat. A brother aware of the principles of religion follows in the footsteps of his elder brothers. Because of being highly elevated, such a pious brother gets the opportunity to associate and enjoy with the demigods like the Maruts, who are all affectionate to their brothers. Purport. According to their belief in various material relationships, people are promoted to various planets. Here it is said that one who is very faithful to his brothers should follow a path similar to theirs and get the opportunity for promotion to Marudloka. Narada Muni advised Prajapati Daksha's second group of sons to follow their elder brothers and be promoted to the spiritual world. So if it's okay, I would like to read a few more verses. There's a short purport, and there's a lot of verses after this that don't have any purports. So I'll just continue reading. This is text number 32. Etava ruktva prayo narado mogadarshanaha te pi chanvagam margam bratrinameva marisa. Sukadeva Goswami continued, O best of the advanced Aryans, after saying this much to the sons of Prajapati Daksha, Narada Muni, whose merciful glance never goes in vain, left as he had planned. The sons of Daksha followed their elder brothers, not attempting to produce children. They engaged themselves in Krishna consciousness. Text number 33. Sarichinam Pratichinam Parayanu Patam Gata Nadyapite Nivartante Paschimi Yaminir Iva. The Savailasvas took to the correct path, which is obtainable by a mode of life meant to achieve devotional service, or the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Like knights that have gone to the west, they have not returned even until now. So text number 34. Etasmin kala utpatan bahun pashyan prajapati purvavan narada kritam putranasam upashrinot. At this time, Prajapati Daksha observed many inauspicious signs, and he heard from various sources that his second group of sons, the Savalasvas, had followed the path of their elder brothers in accordance with the instructions of Narada. Text number 35. Kukroda Naradaya so putra soka vimuchitaha devarshim apalabhyaha Rosarvis puritari hara. Translation and purport. When he heard that the Savalasvas had also left this world to engage in devotional service, Daksha, very angry at Narada, and he almost fainted due to lamentation. When Daksha met Narada, Daksha's lips began to tremble in anger, and he spoke as follows. Purport. Srila Vishnava Chakravarti Thakur comments that Narada Muni had delivered the entire family of Swayambhuva Manu, beginning with Priyavrata and Uttanapad. He had delivered Uttanapad's son, Dhruva, and had even delivered Prachinabarhi, who was engaged in fruitive activities. Nevertheless, he could not deliver Prajapati Daksha. Prajapati Daksha saw Narada before him because Narada had personally come to deliver him. Narada Muni took the opportunity to approach Prajapati Daksha in his bereavement, because the time of bereavement is a suitable time for approaching bhakti yoga. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 7.16, four kinds of men: artha, one who is distressed; arthartī, one who is in need of money; jignāsu, one who is inquisitive; and jñāni, a person in knowledge. Try to understand devotional service. Prajapati Daksha was in great distress because of the loss of his sons, and therefore Narada took the opportunity to instruct him regarding liberation from material bondage. Om Gyana Tamadanda Shaganjana Salakaya Chaksus Unmilitamena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitamena Bhutale Swayamupagadamayam Dadanti Swabhadantikam Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Guru Bhaktivinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Vanchakopa Chubhischa Kripasindhu Bevacha Patitanam Pavane Bhyo Vaishnave Bhyo Namo Namaha. So here we're seeing the mercy of Narada Muni. He is so compassionate for the conditioned souls. His self-realized soul himself, great pure devotee of Krishna. And he himself has become purified by the association of great saints in a previous life. So now in this life, he's wandering everywhere, you know, giving his darshan and being very merciful to conditioned souls. And so he delivers the first 10,000 sons of Daksha and then the next 1,000 sons. And now we see Daksha doesn't appreciate it very much. And here his lips are beginning to tremble in anger, and he's about to curse him. So he speaks in the next verses. So this is a very interesting pastime, how Narada Muni, all throughout the Bhagavatam, you see him enlightening so many different personalities. And Prabhupada mentions in the purport here the entire family of Swayambhuva Manu, beginning with Priyavrata and Uttanapad. And then Uttanapad's son, Dhruva, and even delivered Prachinabarhi. And we know the story of Prachinabarhi. He had, 10 sons, the Prachetas. And he delivered them, or Lord Shiva actually delivered them. He was very satisfied with their austerities. And Lord Shiva came personally to give his darshan and chant a prayer for them so they can become self-realized. And then while the sons are being delivered, Narada Muni felt compassion for the father, Prachinabarhi. So he tells him this elaborate story about King Paranjana. And it's very interesting how here we see how intelligent these sons of Daksha were. They were just heard this, you know, allegory, just enigmatic words, and they immediately understood the purport. But for a king, you could see the king, he was engaged in fruitive activities. Narada Muni described to him in detail the pastimes of this King Paranjana and the whole story about the city of nine gates, and very elaborately describing how this king met his wife and how they had relationship and how they had children and they built this, you know, castle, and how it was eventually, because of his sense gratification, he became weakened and the city was attacked and like this. It was, you know, very elaborately described, and eventually, you know, he told the whole story about how this King Paranjana became, because he was so attached to his wife, that he became a woman in his next life. And then from this, she was very much attached to her husband, and she lamented very bitterly. And that's where a friend of hers, an old Brahmin friend, appeared, who was actually the super soul. And he enlightened her very nicely. So it's very nicely described here. And we'll just read some of those messages. So an old friend in the form of a Brahmana appeared to this woman who was actually, he was considered to be a friend of the king Puranjana. He came to that place to pacify the queen with sweet words. And then the Brahmana inquired as follows, "Who are you? Whose wife or daughter are you? Who is the man lying here? It appears you are lamenting for this dead body. Don't you recognize me? I am your eternal friend. You may remember that many times in the past you have consulted me." The Brahmana continued, "My dear friend, even though you cannot immediately recognize me, can't you remember that in the past you had a very intimate friend? Unfortunately, you gave up my company and accepted a position as enjoyer in this material world." So it's interesting because this friend coming in the form of a Brahmana is summarizing this whole story of King Puranjana to this woman. "My dear gentle friend, both you and I are exactly like two swans. We live together in the same heart, which is just like the Manasa lake. Although we have been living together for many thousands of years, we are still far away from our original home. My dear friend, you are now my very same friend. Since you left me, you have become more and more materialistic, and not seeing me, you have been traveling in different forms throughout this material world, which was created by some woman. In that city, the material body, there are 5 gardens, 9 gates, 1 protector, 3 apartments, 6 families, 5 stores, 5 material elements, and 1 woman who is lord of the house." So I'm sure everybody can visualize all this after hearing all the analogies from Narada Muni in this chapter. And then it was actually in more detail explained to this king. And now he's describing it within the story about this Brahmana that comes to explain it to the Puranjana became a woman. "My dear friend, the 5 gardens are the 5 objects of sense enjoyment, and the protector is the life air, which passes through the 9 gates. The 3 apartments are the chief ingredients, fire, water, and earth. The 6 families are the aggregate total of the mind and 5 senses. The 5 stores are the 5 working sensory organs. They transact their business through the combined forces of the 5 elements, which are eternal. Beyond all this activity is the soul. The soul is a person and an enjoyer in reality. However, because he is now hidden within the city of the body, he is devoid of knowledge. My dear friend, when you enter such a body, along with a woman of material desires, you become overly absorbed in sense enjoyment. Because of this, you have forgotten your spiritual life. Due to your material conceptions, you are placed in various miserable conditions. Actually, you are not the daughter of Vidarbha, nor is this man, Malayadvaja, your well-wishing husband. Nor were you the actual husband of Puranjani. You were simply captivated in this body of 9 gates. Sometimes you think yourself a man, sometimes a chaste woman, and sometimes a neutral eunuch. This is all because of the body, which is created by the illusory energy. This illusory energy is my potency. And actually both of us, you and I, are pure spiritual identities. Now just try to understand this. I'm trying to explain our factual position. My dear friend, I, the super soul, and you, the individual soul, are not different in quality, for we are both spiritual. In fact, my dear friend, You are qualitatively not different from me in your constitutional position. Just try to consider this subject. Those who are actually advanced scholars who are in knowledge do not find any qualitative difference between you and me. As a person sees a reflection of his body in a mirror to be one with himself and not different, whereas others actually see two bodies, so in our material condition, in which the living being is affected and yet not affected, there is a difference between God and the living entity. In this way, both swans live together in the heart. When the one swan is instructed by the other, he is situated in his constitutional position. This means he regains his original Krishna consciousness, which was lost because of his material attraction. So here it's interesting how one swan is instructing the other, and this is the super soul is instructing us, and how we are instructed by the spiritual master, who is a representative of the super soul. And so Narada Muni is instructing, and this is the actual mercy of the devotees. They're instructing us so that we can understand our constitutional position and how we're illusioned identifying with this place, considering it our home. My dear King Parchinabarhi, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the cause of all causes, is celebrated to be known indirectly. Thus I've described the story of Paranjana to you. Actually, it is an instruction for self-realization. So this is when he finishes the story to the king. You know, it ends with that. The friend, the super soul, actually instructing what our real position is. Prabhupada writes how there's many stories like this in the Puranas, and they're intended to interest ordinary men in transcendental subjects. But these are actually refer to real facts. They're not actually considered stories without a transcendental purpose. So Prabhupada here writes, he says, one should be interested, however, in the real purport of the story. Indirect instruction is quickly understandable for a common man. Factually, the path of bhakti yoga is the path of hearing directly about the pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu. But those who are not interested in hearing directly about the activities of the Lord, or who cannot understand them, can very effectively hear such stories and fables as this one narrated by Narada Muni. So there's so many of these fables and stories throughout the Bhagavatam, and they're all meant to elevate us and help us realize our position in this material world. And there's another story in the 11th canto, and this is about another king who is very much attached. And it's a story of, what is it, King Puruva and Urvasi? Yeah, and that story. And then after that, is that his name? Puruva, yeah. So after that story is narrated, I mean after, yeah, it was called the Aila Gita. And then Krishna was actually talking to Uddhava, and he was bringing out the point about how important, what an intelligent person is and what he should be doing, and the importance of association with saintly devotees. So he says here, an intelligent person should therefore reject all bad association and instead take up the association of saintly devotees whose words cut off the excessive attachment of one's mind. My devotees fix their minds on me and do not depend upon anything material. They're always peaceful, endowed with equal vision, and free from possessiveness, false ego, duality, and greed. O greatly fortunate Uddhava, in the association of such saintly devotees, there is constant discussion of me, and those partaking in this chanting and hearing of my glories are certainly purified of all sins. Whoever hears, chants, and respectfully takes to heart these topics about me becomes faithfully dedicated to me and thus achieves my devotional service. What more remains to be accomplished for the perfect devotee after achieving devotional service unto me, the Supreme Absolute Truth, whose qualities are innumerable and who am the embodiment of all ecstatic experience? Just as cold, fear, and darkness are eradicated for one who has approached the sacrificial fire, so dullness, fear, and ignorance are destroyed for one engaged in serving the devotees of the Lord. The devotees of the Lord, peacefully fixed in absolute knowledge, are the ultimate shelter for those who are repeatedly rising and falling within the fearful ocean of material life. Such devotees are just like a strong boat that comes to rescue persons who are at the point of drowning. Just as food is the life of all creatures, just as I am the ultimate shelter for the distressed, and just as religion is the wealth of those who are passing away from this world, so my devotees are the only refuge of persons fearful of falling into a miserable condition of life. My devotees bestow divine eyes, whereas the sun allows only external sight, and that only when it has risen in the sky. My devotees are one's real worshipable deities and real family. They are one's own self, and ultimately they are non-different from me. Actually, in that analogy from Narada Muni to King Prachinabarhi, he was explaining how the different elements of the body, like the blood, the bone, the marrow, all these different things, is considered to be the home of the living entity. And he considered those his family members. So that's what we become attached to, the body. Thus losing his desire to be on the same planet as Urvasi, Maharaj Paruruva began to wander the earth free of all material association and completely satisfied within the self. So we can see how Daksha wasn't so much appreciating the devotee, and this, therefore he could not be delivered by him. So, you know, we have to really understand the importance and the value of the devotees of Krishna consciousness. And they are the giving protection to the citizens. Prabhupada writes how just as a king gives protections to his citizens, so the devotees following the principles of devotional service, they give protection to all living entities. And Prabhupada is referring to the devotees, you know, devotees of Krishna consciousness, of this ISKCON movement, how they're giving protection to everyone, because there's so many cheaters out there, so many bogus swamis, yogis, incarnations. But the devotees are the only ones that really have the real knowledge to actually protect people. And then it's very interesting how Prabhupada describes here, we're talking about children, and how Narada Muni convinced all the sons of Daksha to not waste your time, you know, producing children. And there's an interesting purport. Prabhupada talks about this. He says here, if a man is in good consciousness, he consults with his religious wife, and as a result of this consultation, with intelligence, one advances in his ability to estimate the value of life. In other words, if one is fortunate enough to have a good, conscientious wife, he can decide by mutual consultation that human life is meant for advancing in Krishna consciousness and not for begetting a large number of children. Children are called parinama, or byproducts. And when one consults his good intelligence, he can see that his byproducts should be the expansion of his Krishna consciousness. So this is our real byproducts, and this should be our what we think of as our children. Not so much these fleshly elements of the body or fleshly elements that this body produces as we call children. But actually to become advanced in such a way that we know the ultimate aim of life and that we really should expand our Krishna consciousness. That should be our byproducts. And this is what we're doing as devotees. We're, you know, engaged in devotional service and developing so many pious activities, so many spiritual activities, so much advancement that these byproducts will have is our Krishna consciousness. We're really awakening. And this is really intelligent, what intelligence is. And as mentioned, intelligence is your second self. And the intelligence is that thing that we follow. And it could be a polluted intelligence, like described in the allegories as the prostitute or the woman, the wife, materialistic like that. And then it guides us in such a way that we become more and more degraded and illusioned, thinking we're this body. Or that intelligence really means to follow those who are intelligent, like the devotees of Krishna consciousness, the real devotees, the real protectors, the super soul, the spiritual master, like that. This is the real intelligence, like that. So we got a few minutes. Maybe there's some comments or realizations, questions about these verses or pastimes, teachings of Narada Muni. Jai. Yes. Yeah, the non-fleshing children. Non-fleshing children. Yeah, actually, we know that this flesh is a material elements, and the soul, the real person, is actually within that. It's residing in there. It's covered. But it has nothing to do, and it's not its home. And all these allegories and stories that Narada Muni is giving is explaining how this is not really our home. This is not really your wife. These aren't really your children. You don't really belong here. You know, and in the allegory, the super soul himself appears, you know, in that allegory and explains that I'm your friend. Don't you remember me? You know, and you've consulted with me in the past. This is the real intelligence, getting a consultation with the super soul. Srila Prabhupada explains how one can actually meet the super soul personally if one doesn't have any material attachments. Then you could actually get in consultation with the super soul. But even still, you can get in touch with the super soul by reading the Srimad Bhagavatam, by hearing from Srila Prabhupada, from the devotees. They're representing the super soul. He comes externally and internally. So these fleshly, external things that we identify with, the super soul gives us intelligence to see through those. This is not really you. You don't really belong here. This is like a hole. You've fallen in this hole and you're covered over by this thing. So you want to get out of this darkness and eventually realize what the real person is, and that you can have ecstatic, loving relationships and really enjoy spiritually. Like that. So a little more, but okay. Any other comments or questions? Yeah, well, thank you for your kind attention. All glories to the Srimad Bhagavatam.
Thank you for